This is a Christians for Messiah Ministries production. Our mandate is to teach God's word, train God's people, and release God's favor. After this message, please continue listening for important information about Christians for Messiah Ministries. We now invite you to listen to another powerful message by Dr. Peter Wins. This message is entitled, Reaching for Your Inheritance.
Reaching for your inheritance. And because we're going to Israel, I'm going to give you a little bit of history of Israel today. I'm going to talk to you about the land of Israel and about their inheritance, some of the Israelites' inheritance. And I want you to understand that this is also about your inheritance. I'm not just talking about your inheritance, but the inheritance of your children and your grandchildren. And so let's open our Bibles now. And we're going to read quite a bit of scripture, but it is important, and I trust you'll be able to stay with us. So Joshua chapter 14, I'm going to read the entire chapter to you. Joshua chapter 14. Now these are the areas that Israelites received as an inheritance. Would you say inheritance? In the land of Canaan, which Eleazar the priest, Joshua son of Nun, and the heads of the tribal clans of Israel allotted to them. Their inheritances were assigned by lot to the 9.5 tribes as the Lord had commanded through Moses. Moses had granted the 2.5 tribes their inheritance east of the Jordan, but had not granted the Levites an inheritance among the rest, for the sons of Joseph had become 2 tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim. The Levites received no share of the land, but only towns to live in, with pasture lands for their flocks and herds. So the Israelites divided the land just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Now the men of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, at Kadesh Barnea, about you and me? I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me to Kadesh Barnea to explore the land. And I brought him back a report according to my convictions. But my brothers who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt with fear. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. So on that day, Moses swore to me, 'The land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance.'" Say inheritance. "And that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord your God wholeheartedly. Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive 45 years since the time he said this to Moses while Israel moved about in the desert. So here I am today, 85 years old. I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I am just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard then that the Anakites were there, and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said." Then Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron as his inheritance. So Hebron has belonged to Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, ever since, because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly. Hebron used to be called Kiriath Arba, after Arba, who was the greatest man among the Anakites. What a story. There's more to it, but let's start here. Father, we open our hearts now, so that you might touch a deep place inside of us with the teaching of inheritance and how we and our children are called to take hold of it. I ask now that you would empower us as we preach the word of God. Empower our hearts to hear and my lips to speak under your anointing. I ask it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Talking to you today about taking hold of your inheritance. I really love my parents and I really love my grandparents. We have five generations of ministers from both sides of the family in our lineage. But both my parents and all of our grandparents are now passed away. Whatever inheritance I was to receive from them, I have already received. And now I look for a different kind of inheritance. I look for an inheritance that doesn't come from relatives or my natural ancestors, but I look for an inheritance that comes from the living God that he has predetermined that should be mine from before the foundations of the world. And the inheritance that the Lord has for us is not just one of money. It also has to do with wisdom and grace and ministry and powerful anointing. It has to do with wisdom, revelation, and understanding. It has to do with the character of Christ. I am not talking about the inheritance that all of us will get one day when we pass over the spiritual River Jordan and enter into the presence of the Lord in eternity. I'm not talking about what you get when you die. I'm talking about what you need to take hold of today. What the Lord says is yours. You see, every good father and every wise father has this great desire to give an inheritance to his children. There's only one thing greater than getting your inheritance. And it's being able to give it to your children and your grandchildren. And if this is true of every earthly father who is wise, how much more so is it true of your heavenly Father who put us together and made us the way we are? So understand this today, that there is an inheritance that is laid up for you. There is a reward that is so amazing that comes from your heavenly Father. And the Lord, just like any earthly father, is anxious, if he ever can be anxious, is excited, is longing to give you your inheritance. Do you understand that you cannot accomplish your destiny, fulfill your identity, or do everything that God has called you to do unless you get your inheritance? This is nothing to do with selfish gain. I'm not talking about you just hoarding something for yourself. I'm talking about you being like Jacob, who loved his father's inheritance, and not being like Esau, who would sell it, who would sell his birthright for food or pleasure. God is looking for people who love their inheritance. I want you to know, with all my heart, I am looking for my inheritance. Every day, I look for my inheritance. I don't want what doesn't belong to me. But I want to know, Lord, what does belong to me. And on a daily basis, there is a spring of water that comes up in my life that gives to me my inheritance in Christ. And by his grace, I hope I'm growing in all of those things that I mentioned. And because of it, I am able to bless many, many, many people. And I'm going to give a great legacy to my children and to my grandchildren. I love what the book of Proverbs teaches us. In Proverbs 13, verse 22, it says, a good man gives an inheritance to his grandchildren. Not just children. This is one of the marks of a good man. I'm already thinking about my grandchildren and what kind of inheritance I'm going to be giving them. I'm an artist and I have paintings all over my house and lots of them in the closet. And in my home, I have 30 paintings. My children have claimed some of them. They said, Dad, when you die, you ever have your children come up to you and say something like that? Dad, when you die, can I want that painting? Well, I know which ones are going to go to my children, but presently I'm deciding which ones I shall give to my grandchildren. And maybe some nieces and nephews as well. I'll write on the back of them who they are for. I'm going to give a legacy to my children and to my grandchildren in every area that I can. And the paintings is just for illustration's sake. It's not the biggest of our inheritance that we'll be giving them. But here the children of Israel go into the promised land. And the Bible teaches us, we just read it, that Eleazar, who was the son of the high priest named Aaron, and he now became the high priest. And he, along with Joshua and the leaders of the clans of Israel, drew lots to determine who was going to get what parcel of land as an inheritance in Israel. It wasn't that they picked pieces of paper or the one with the straws that had something written on the end of it. It was likely the Urim and the Thummim, which is something that is not spoken of much, but it is in the scriptures. It was a breastplate that went on to the chest of the high priest. Each, and on this chest plate, there were 12 stones, each one representing the 12 tribes of Israel. And God would speak to the high priest through the Urim and the Thummim. So it would light up. It was like an electronic device. Only it was a supernatural device, not an electronic one. So they would say, this piece of land, who shall it go to? And all of a sudden, the light, the stone that represented the tribe of Dan would light up. And they would say, the Lord has spoken. In another place, the Bible says, the drawing of the lot belongeth to the Lord. This was one of God's ways. Now you have the Holy Spirit. You have your own Urim and Thummim right there inside of you. And the Holy Spirit says you don't need any tricks. You don't need any gadgets. You don't need any special programs. He says, I am your teacher. I come to live inside of you. And you need not that anybody teach you. Today, I'm just giving you some information. But the Holy Spirit is the real teacher here. And whatever I say that doesn't line up with God's word, just put it under the chair. And let the Holy Spirit be your teacher. And so you have your own Urim and Thummim that he's put right inside of you. You've had an implant. And the Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you if you pay attention to him. But the children of Israel divided up the land. This was after 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. And it took them some time after they have divided up the land. The land that was given to Judah went into the Negev. The Negev is the desert place. It is that land which is south of Jerusalem. It includes the Dead Sea. It is a place where very little grows. And that was given to the people of Judah. It took some time for them to develop, to divide it up among the clans. But 5 years after they entered the land of the promised land, the land of Israel, Caleb, who was now 85 years old, came looking for his inheritance. You think you've received all of your inheritance? I don't think you have. I think there's buckets loads full still for you. And when this man of God was 85, he went to Joshua and he said, you were there when the man of God, Moses, spoke over me and said, this land that I personally had spied out when I left from Kadesh Barnea in the southern part of Israel, that land I spied out that day, Moses said it would belong to me because I love the Lord my God with all of my heart. And today I ask you to give me that which is my inheritance. It was promised to me and my children for all of eternity. It includes Gaza, for your information. And so, at that time, there were still the Anakites. Watch out for the Anakites. The Anakites, the sons, the three sons of Anak, were in the land. He was the greatest of all the kings of the region. And his three sons each had a principality that they ruled over. And Caleb said, I know there's fight to get my inheritance. He said, but I'm just as strong today at 85 years of age than I was when I was 40. And I am vigorous and ready to go to war. And so I ask you, what will you do to get your inheritance? Are you ready to fight? Because you can't have your inheritance without a battle. This needs to be listened to by every believer. Because many people think because somebody prophesied over them, therefore it's a done deal. God said it. Well, this was prophesied over Caleb 40 years earlier. For 40 years, he waited on the prophecy that the Lord had given to Moses while going through the desert. It was a difficult time for him. It was an intense time for him. It was a time of struggle and great battles as every day he had to walk with the people of Israel as one by one his friends died in the desert. And he did not see a lick of his inheritance till 45 years later. And the day came and he said, the timing of the Lord has come. The prophecy is still alive in me. And I am ready to take what is mine. Do it for your children. And do it for your grandchildren. It's time to rise up and fight the battle for your inheritance. So sure enough, Caleb went in to the land. And he took over, drove out, destroyed the kings of Anak. And he took over the city of Hebron and all of the surrounding region in the Negev. And there was one town left. The name of the town was Debir. And instead of taking it over, there was no great king there. It would have been easy for Caleb, the mighty warrior, to overtake this town. But he thought he would use it as a test. Do you know why? Let's find out. Come with me to Joshua chapter 14. Excuse me, Joshua chapter 15. And verse 13. Are you with me so far? Anyone say amen? Okay, good. In verse 13 of Joshua 15, it says, in accordance with the Lord's command to him, Joshua gave to Caleb, son of Jephunneh, a portion in Judah, Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron. Arba was the forefather of Anak. From Hebron, Caleb drove out the three Anakites, Sheshai, Ahiman, and Talmah, descendants of Anak. From there, he marched against the people living in Debir, formerly called Kiriath Sefer. And Caleb said, I will give my daughter Aksa in marriage to the man who attacks and captures Kiriath Sefer. Othniel, son of Kenaz, Caleb's brother, took it. So Caleb gave his daughter Aksa to him in marriage. One day, when she came to Othniel, she urged her husband to ask her father for a field. When she got off her donkey, Caleb asked her, "What can I do for you, Aksa?" She replied, "Do me a special favor. Since you have given me land in the Negev, give me also springs of water." So Caleb gave her the upper and the lower springs. You see, we're going to come to the place of what the second generation needs to do to get their inheritance. But let's first finish with the story of Caleb. Caleb had gone into the land surrounding Hebron and had driven out the three kings of Anak. And he took over the land and he gained a great inheritance. And he was coming to the far reaches southwest of Hebron to where the city of Debir was. And before he attacked it, he withdrew. And he said, "I could easily attack and conquer this small city, but I will use it for a test." Do you know why? Because Caleb had a very special daughter. Do you? I do. In fact, I have two very special daughters. You know one of them, Elizabeth. And he said, "Not just any man should marry my daughter." Jesse knows that. He wouldn't have it any other way. I wish I could tell you the stories of how these young men wrote letters to me asking for my daughter's hand in marriage. But that's for another day. But he had a very special daughter named Aksa. And he knew that the inheritance that he looked for all of his life and he fought for must not be wasted on the next generation who would, like the prodigal son, spend it all in riotous living. But I need somebody of the next generation who will be responsible, who will carry the inheritance and the heritage that I want to give them. And he saw that in his daughter Aksa was the same kind of excellent spirit, wholehearted love for the Lord, and a warrior spirit in her that was in the father. And he had a challenge. Who should marry my daughter? The challenge of every good dad. And he went to the Lord. I think the Lord gave him this idea. Do not conquer the city of Debir. But go to the people of Judah. You're not going to the Moabites or some foreign place. Go to the people of God who are within your own tribe and speak to the men and say, "Men, whoever from among you goes in and conquers the king of Debir and takes the land shall have my daughter's hand in marriage." And Othniel, who was his nephew, he had a younger brother named Ken. And his brother's daughter, or his brother's son, was Othniel. And Othniel, it says, took troops in and conquered the city of Debir and took it as a prize and offered it to his soon-to-be father-in-law, Caleb. And Caleb said, "You may now have my daughter's hand in marriage." Caleb was thrilled because there was a worthy man, somebody who could match and stand with and actually lead this warrior daughter that he had. And then, as the story goes, Caleb watched this young couple. He watched them to see if they were worthy. He watched them to see if they were responsible. He watched them to see what they would do with the valuable things of his inheritance. And one day, I know it was the Lord who spoke to Aksha, and she went to her husband, as every good wife would, and said, Othniel, would you go to my father and ask him for some land for ourselves? And Othniel, brave warrior that he was, went to Caleb, said, Dad, you've given me your daughter, but I have a request. Will you give us a parcel of land? And he gladly gave it to them because he saw in them a couple who was worthy of the inheritance. And then the Bible says that Caleb watched them further. And as Aksa, his daughter, was dismounting from a donkey one day, he went up to her. The time was right. And he said, what special thing shall I do for you? And she said, Father, you have given us a parcel of land in the Negev. You know what the Negev is? It's the desert. But I ask a special favor of you now. Will you give us some water? And the Bible says, to Aksa and Othniel, Caleb gave the upper and the lower springs. This is the most valuable commodity in all of Israel. Whoever has the water has control and wealth over the whole region. They weren't just getting use of the water, they were getting ownership of the upper and the lower springs. The upper springs were only for the elite because it was hard to take water from the valley up to the top of the mountain. So if you had a spring at the top of the mountain, you could use land there, irrigate land for crops that nobody else could. You were unmatched in your influence and wealth in the region. But he didn't only give them the upper springs, he gave them the lower springs in the fertile valley where the greatest abundance of crops can be grown. He gave them both. I want to tie this up for you and give it some application for your life and for your children's lives. It's a powerful story. Before I do that, I want to tell you about Othniel. If you go into the third chapter of the book of Judges, you will discover there what Othniel, son-in-law to Caleb, became. It says in the third chapter of Judges, in the seventh verse, that the people of Israel turned away from the Lord and went and worshiped the Baals and the Ashtaroths, the false gods. They went into witchcraft. And the Bible says for 8 years, kind of like 2 years of a presidential term, they were in a bad place until they cried out to the Lord. And the Bible says, and God sent them a deliverer, Othniel, son of Ken, younger brother to Caleb. And he delivered them from the hand of their enemies and became judge over Israel. And Israel had peace and walked in the ways of the Lord for 40 years because of Othniel. Some of you are first generation Christians. Or at least Christians who didn't receive much of an inheritance from your parents. You're like Caleb. And there's an inheritance that you need to take hold of for your own life, for the purposes of God, and for your children and your grandchildren. You have to do what Caleb did. I will suggest to you 5 things that Caleb did. One, he got over a bad start. Do you know why I say that? Because Caleb means dog. How would you like to be called dog? Now, back in the days of the Bible, a person wasn't given a name because a movie star had a name or because they liked the sound of it. A name given in biblical times was given because of its meaning. So his father called his son Dog. It was no doubt because of his own anger and his own frustrations. And he took it out on his newborn son and cursed him with the name Dog. You want to grow up with an inferiority complex and a sense of rejection? Caleb certainly had every opportunity, and you've got some too. Most people in this room had a bad start, or you're in a bad start right now. Well, I have one thing to say to you. You don't have time mucking around in a bad start. There's a heavenly Father who has an inheritance for you to take hold of and win it as a prize. I don't care where you're coming from. God has something for your life, and it's something of greatness. You're his child. Put the past behind you and leave it here today, and don't ever pick it up again. This man, Caleb, who was named Dog, got over it. So much so that by the time he was 40, Moses had to choose a man from among the people of Judah to represent Judah as the spy that could be trusted, as the one who would go into the promised land and give an honest report. There were 30,000 men in the tribe of Judah at that time. And out of 30,000 men, Moses came to Caleb, who was called Dog. And he said, I choose you, Caleb, because you are wholeheartedly serving the Lord. At age 40, he's chosen. He overcame his rubbish and became a mighty man of God. His character shone. So the second thing is, serve the Lord wholeheartedly if you want your inheritance. And the third thing about Caleb is that he had faith when very few others did, because there were 12 spies who went into the land, and 10 of them came back and said, there's giants and big walled cities. We are like grasshoppers to them. They will have us for lunch. And only two stood up, Joshua and Caleb, and said, we will eat them as bread. Do you know why? Because God told us that this land belonged to us. So he had faith that went beyond what he saw. And if you're going to ever get your inheritance, you've got to have a faith that goes beyond what you can see in the natural. Quit looking at your situation and allowing that to stop you from what God has for you. I have had so many times in my life where it seemed like I came up against a dead end with a block wall built in front of me, and I didn't know how to penetrate or get through it. But I knew, I've always known, the call of God on my life and the inheritance that belongs to me. And so, for 40 years, Caleb wandered in the wilderness and held on to that. Through disappointments, through difficult days, through times when it seemed like it was all finished and all over. And he kept that faith in his heart. He never let it go. And the fourth thing about Caleb and about you to get your inheritance is that regardless how old you are, you can be 85. Is there anyone here older than 85? I don't see any hands. So all of you are kids. You're just kids. Compared to a tree, you're very young. But listen, This man was 85. After 45 years of internal torment and disappointment, he said, the time is right. The land is there. The promise has come. We now have opportunity. And he went forth and took his prize. He said, Joshua, give me what God has promised to me. Because Moses said that the land that my feet stood on when I went and spied that land, he promised me by an oath that one day it would be mine and my children. Today I'm ready. Joshua might have said, you know, that was a good prophecy. And back then, in the Jesus people movement, back then when there was the, you know, the revivals that were going on, things were happening, but Caleb, you're 85. Have you looked in the mirror lately? Caleb said, I'm as strong as I am, as I was 45 years ago. And I'm as vigorous. I don't know if he was in body, but he certainly was in spirit. And so are you if you let the grace of God move in your life. You are strong then too if you'll take what God has for you. And he said, I'm ready to fight. Joshua said, go for it. He took his armies and destroyed the three kings of Anak. The fifth thing I want to say to you, the fourth, of course, is you got to be ready to fight at the right time. And you don't fight against other church people. That's the wrong thing. You don't fight against your spouse. It's not about that. You're not in competition with anybody. There's enough inheritance just for you and for everybody else. So bless them and God will bless you. But the last thing is that Caleb never let go of the future. You need to look over the mountain, over the river, past the forest, through the jungle, to your inheritance. And inheritance is always something that's in the future. And yours is waiting for you. So you keep your eyes there. Today, you live for that inheritance. You don't live for this very moment. You live for the inheritance that is yours in this life. What the Lord is going to give to you. You never take your eyes off of it, even for 40 years in the wilderness. So the first generation has to fight for their inheritance. If you're second generation, listen very carefully. Second generation people might have to fight again, as Othniel did at the end of his life. But your battle is not really the same as the first generations, who might take 40 years to get their inheritance. The task of a second generation is this. If you inherit the upper and the lower springs, what will you do with it? There are spiritual parents and natural parents who want to give you the upper and the lower springs if you're second generation. What will you do with it if you get it? If you're a second generation believer and you know there's the blessings of the Lord coming down on your life, you have to prove yourself worthy of that inheritance. You have to be responsible and serve the Lord wholeheartedly and be just as vigilant and honor and embrace that inheritance so that God can allow you to manage and perpetuate it. I just think of somebody like Billy Graham and Franklin, his son. Billy Graham was the first generation man of God who did so much to touch the world. Franklin Graham does not have the same mantle as his father. But Samaritan's Purse Ministries may in fact be doing more for actual change in the world than his father Billy Graham did. And he didn't start Samaritan's Purse because of the money he got from his father. But certainly the anointing and the influence, there was an inheritance there that enabled him, even a reputation, that gave him a platform, that gave him the upper and the lower springs. Millions of dollars have been sent to Haiti in these last few weeks from Samaritan's Purse. Everywhere we go around the world, we hear about Samaritan's Purse and some work they are doing, building houses, even up in Alaska, because of a second generation who received the upper and the lower springs. This message is so important for your life and for your children and for your grandchildren. I want you to open your hands on your lap right now. I don't want you to stand. I want you to stay seated. And I want you just to picture the Lord holding your inheritance over your hands for you to take. If you're first generation, there's a fight, a huge battle that you have to win to get this. You got to get rid of the sons of Anak to take hold of it. If you're second generation or more, there's an awesome sense of honor, responsibility, and embracing that you need to take hold of to be worthy of the upper and lower springs. And maybe you're kind of in both of these camps because it's not always so black and white. But I'm going to pray for you right now that the Holy Spirit would give you grace and empower you to be what he's called you to be. Lord Jesus, I'm tired of seeing so many people pass on from this life without ever receiving their inheritance. And I know it's not a fault at your end, but one at our end. Father, I ask now for the blessings of the Holy Spirit and the powerful grace of God to come upon us so that we might do what is necessary to embrace the inheritance, to take hold of it, and to press forward in that which is ours, designed before the foundations of the world for your glory and for the legacy that we're to pass on to generations to come. Lord, we don't want to be one who breaks the chain. We want to be one who becomes a funnel for the power and glory of God upon our children and our grandchildren. Let it come with ever-increasing anointing and power and blessings and wealth for your name's sake. Now I speak your blessing over every person who's here. In the name of Jesus, I open your eyes to see what needs to be done. I put the key in the lock by the power of the Holy Spirit, and I unlock it now, and I open you up to press forward and to go not to survival, not to mediocrity, but to your inheritance. I release the power and blessings of God over your life, over your children, and over your children's children. I speak it to you. I speak it over you as a word from heaven. I speak it with authority and faith this day. For the name of Jesus the champion and for his eternal glory in your life and in your family, in this city and in this community and in this world. I release inheritance to you. I come into agreement for it to be given to you in Jesus' name. Nothing can stop it if you'll partner with him. I give it to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
If after hearing this message you would like prayer or further information about our ministry, email Dr. Peter Wins at reachus@peterwins.com. That's R-E-A-C-H-U-S at P-E-T-E-R-W-Y-N-S.com. We trust that this teaching has been a blessing to you and has released a greater measure of God's grace and power into your life. For additional teachings, books, and materials, visit our website at peterwins.com or unexpectedfire.com. Christians for Messiah Ministries runs solely on the prayer and financial support of ministry partners like you. To make a donation to this ministry, please write to us at Christians for Messiah Ministries, P.O. Box 36324, Rock Hill, South Carolina, 29732. From all of us here at CFM, to all of you listening, we extend God's richest blessings.